The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
And then stay in your lane. There is the squib. It bounds in front of the receiver. Clock now. They're going to throw it across the formation, and it is caught over there. Now slipping, and the Chiefs will tackle him. This game is over. This game is over. You can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs as the AFC champions. And for the third time in 4 years, Lamar Hunt Trophy, the trophy named after this franchise's founder, is back in Kansas City where it belongs. What a gutsy victory. Grab a bucket of guts. The Chiefs are going to end the season where they began the season, in Glendale, Arizona, and Super Bowl 57.
Okay, so that's an awesome call. It may be over the top. I get it. That was great.
Maybe over the top.
That was great, though.
Maybe. Mitch Holthus of Kansas City Radio.
I think my favorite line is, you're going to have to deal with the Chiefs.
My favorite line is, grab a bucket of guts.
That's so great. All right, we're going to talk Cowboys and Kellen Moore at 10:50.
How many those little bottles of Red Bull do you think he had?
Hey, that's a hype call, man. You want to start there? Because I was going to start with Philly and San Francisco, but we can start with Kansas City and Cincinnati if you want to.
I'd like to just start with one statement of an overview. We were really, I'm speaking for everybody out there, really entertained by Kansas City and Cincinnati. Philadelphia and San Francisco could have been something it wasn't. After the day, I had a feeling of sadness. I had a feeling of sadness.
One game left?
In the two locker rooms.
Oh, okay.
San Francisco goes in there thinking, look at the way we just marched on with our second quarterback, with our third quarterback. And Cincinnati, that kid was just, Joseph Osai was just sobbing uncontrollably on the bench.
I know. I really felt bad for him. He'd had a really good game leading up to that, and Mahomes sold it. And he sold it like any other athlete in any other sport would try to sell something to get an advantage. And that push wasn't that big to where it made him flail like that. But they're all running full speed and that little nudge in the back. And Mahomes went sprawling on the sideline. And it was the right call. You had to call it at that particular moment. And, yeah, it cost him the game.
Andy hurt his knee.
He did.
Couldn't get much worse.
And my wife, who's casually walking through, is he really hurt or is his feelings hurt? And I was like, oh, come on. That's really bad to say about that dude who gave everything on the field and made the one wrong play that gave him those 15 yards. I thought Cincinnati's locker room should have been way more, whatever the word is.
Sad.
Sad. I thought they were the better team. They got off to a really slow start. I thought Cincinnati, to get back in that game, played wonderfully. I don't think they expected Kansas City's front to be as good as they were yesterday.
I agree.
Especially early. But I thought they adjusted nicely until the very end on that one last play, the third down, where they had to punt the football late. That was one where Chris Jones had to win, and he won it convincingly on that play.
I agree. I wrote this down in the San Francisco and Philadelphia game about San Francisco heading to the locker room and I wrote this note. San Francisco to the locker room, hopeless. At the half, you could feel they understand it was hopeless.
And I don't think their coach did them any favors yesterday. And he's good. And I think one of the main reasons they were where they were yesterday. But to not challenge that fourth down is, at the very beginning, I think it's inexcusable. His player was, you know, players do it all the time. And I know, I guess you can't cry wolf. And I know these challenges are precious, but I think sometimes the coaches treat them as too precious. Because in the second game, Andy Reid challenged a call that I didn't even feel like that he caught that touchdown pass. That didn't feel like the way to challenge, but he did it anyway. I thought Shanahan, even with the way that they got up to rush to the line, should have thrown that red flag. And say, I've got to challenge that catch from Devontae Smith.
Exactly right. I just want to make sure that's the catch you're talking about.
It's just too necessary. I get it. They're precious. But even if you just have them stop and look at it, it's worth it. You only have two. You only have three timeouts. You've got to do it at that moment. I was yelling, like, challenge it. Throw it.
Can I tell you just an overall thought watching football now? For years with you and watching football in general, I know timeouts are precious. If you listen to the analysts, they're precious. You know what? Loads of teams go to the locker room with two timeouts or one timeout or three timeouts in their bag.
And you can stop a clock any way you want. Have the play run it to the sideline to go out of bounds. You can clock it if you want. You can stop a clock if you need to. But you could almost feel that even if their quarterback didn't get hurt, that's a really important play in that game, even early on. Mm-hmm. Fourth and three, that was – I would have just gone by the reaction of Devontae Smith when he got up.
Where he's saying, come on, come on, come on.
And that was the corner over there that was signaling incomplete. But, you know, they do that all the time. You don't want to just go with what your players will say, but even – hurriedly getting to the line, I think you got to do it.
There's one other play from that game that I think the game thought there was one play in that game, and that is down 14-7. San Francisco decides, and it's fine with me, they decide they're going to try to get some points before halftime, and that's fine.
Are you sure? I know it's hindsight, and I get it. But you're on your fourth string.
I know.
And it's a minute and a half left.
But you've got a chance to move the football if you're careful with it. And they were being careful with it. I'm sure they gave Josh Johnson a careful call. How could they ever, ever think he'd simply drop the snap?
Right there in his hands.
Perfectly in his hands.
I know. And you felt that. I felt that once Philadelphia got to 21, that was it.
I agree.
That's no way San Francisco was going to score 21 points.
That's why my note, San Francisco headed the locker room hopeless. They were not going to get 14 points in the second half with that quarterback.
No.
Much less more than 14 points that they'd have needed to win the game.
I was almost hoping for some Christian McCaffrey drop back, seven-step drops.
Well,
let's go.
Or just run some sort of wildcat type thing. Because really, at that point, it's 10 on 11. Because Brock Purdy couldn't throw the ball.
Felt so sorry for that young man.
Yeah.
You shouldn't feel sorry for teams after games. You should watch the game and be entertained. You don't want to feel sorry.
Because I think we all know that if everything was on the up and up, this game would have been a classic knockout Hagler Hearns type of situation. But even and then again, it flips because they didn't hurry up or anything. But the challenge with Purdy, because it did look incomplete. But no, challenge that, throw it, let's go, get the ball back. Like, and again, hindsight, it is what it is. And you said there's nothing wrong with going down to score. I thought maybe at that moment, and I'm not just saying it because he fumbled, because I didn't anticipate that happening either. Minute and a half, only down a touchdown. Who got the ball back in this Philadelphia got San Francisco got the ball first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're only down a touchdown with the worst possible thing that could ever happen to you. Lick your wounds, come up with a game plan, down 14-7, out in the second half.
Okay, I'm going to flip the coin over. He does nothing but run the ball there, try to grind up the clock, punt it back to the Eagles. If the Eagles then score, or if after the game the final is 20-17, he's going to get ripped for not trying something there.
I can see that, and then I can see, you got to be careful with what you have out there and be realistic about what you have. And I know you can't baby it, but you can be a little careful because you are playing a guy that you had zero intentions on playing whatsoever, and he even admitted. There are 15 plays we probably can run with Josh Johnson. That's it. And I think you go into halftime and say, all right, let's develop a plan. Let's go out down the touchdown with the ball and see if we can put together this game plan to see if we can go down there and get a score. But I can see both ways. I was just on the couch saying, I would take it to halftime. I really would. And then two plays later, you know, that's the worst possible thing that could happen.
Yeah. But the worst possible thing you're thinking of in that situation is, I don't want him to throw an interception. I just don't want him to throw an interception. You don't think of him dropping the snap.
Sure. And at that moment, I thought their defense had played really well. Outside that first drive and outside of them not challenging where it should have been 0-0. You know what? It's done. That's over. After all that, it's still 7-7. They get the ball back. Nice long touchdown drive, but they were helped by penalty after penalty after penalty. The defense, they played so well leading up to that, and they shot themselves in the foot in that one touchdown drive. But that's okay, and that's why another thing, you can just kind of, all right, let's just reconnect, get another game plan going, and go down a score. But, hey, they tried to put some points on the board, and it came back and kicked them right in the buttocks.
Quick Cowboy question for you. Who would have been our number four quarterback this year? We didn't have one, did we?
I don't think so.
No, Greer was on the practice squad, right? Yeah.
And he would have been the third.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'd have had to find somebody on the street like Josh Johnson to take snaps.
13 teams in his career. That's incredible.
That is insane. It is. And that was his first playoff action.
I know.
all those years in the league, the first time he's been in the playoffs. But I thought Philadelphia first half, after the first drive, San Francisco's defense was good. But Philadelphia's defense was really good also.
Francisco's defense, they committed some penalties. And they committed penalties that kept the game moving for Philadelphia. At the end of the game, what did Philadelphia gain for the entire game? 268, 269 yards?
Something like that, yeah.
Whew. And now, let's go to the other game. That's where Cincinnati had incredible penalties defensively. Oh, my goodness, the penalties on Cincinnati's defense.
What did you make of the pass interference on the third down? I think it was like third and two, and there was a real tic-tac penalty called on Cincinnati on a pass interference that kept the drive going.
Because we do see it in slow motion, and okay, but it felt like bang, bang. It wasn't even close to being a pass interference. It's almost like it was right there. He was right there when the ball was there.
Not to mention Casey getting an extra third down.
That was the weird egregious one.
You know, it was the right call.
The announcers were as confused because Tony Romo was about to get as excited as he could be because he thought Kansas City was going for it on fourth down. And he was like, oh my God, I can't believe they're going. Like, oh, no, it's third down. They're doing it again.
You know, but the official spotted the clock running when it shouldn't be. And he whistled the play to stop. Nobody heard it. He was coming in from his position, signaling to stop the clock. But it was just terrible because nobody, including the players, heard him. That was a legitimate attempt by Kansas City to get the first down.
I'm glad Kansas City didn't score on that drive, you know?
I know.
That would have been a much larger thing.
Mm.
this morning,
people would have lost their minds.
You know, one thing we should mention, besides the grittiness of Patrick Mahomes, is he finished that game with no wide receivers.
Yep. Valdez-Scantling was the only regular wide receiver left because Juju went out. Who else went out?
Nicole Hardman.
Hardman went out.
Tony went out.
And he's throwing to Kemp.
Yep.
I kept calling him Jake Kemp.
Sky Moore.
Jake Kemp out there. But Sky Moore with the big, huge return.
Yeah.
That was a whale of a game. And you could tell just – I thought Cincinnati weathered that storm early to go down in the locker rooms 13-6. They had to go, okay, this is exactly how it went last year. We're fine. And they were absolutely fine. I thought in overtime Cincinnati was going to win, and I didn't think it was a question about it.
You know, another thing about that game, that was three backup offensive linemen blocking for Cincinnati. I know the Cowboys had some offensive line injuries this year, but what if the Cowboys had to play that game with their number 6, 7, and 8 offensive linemen?
But think about it. Josh Ball out there.
It was the same thing last week in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And they look great. And then you turn around and thinking, okay, I think I take Buffalo's defensive front over Kansas City's. And Kansas City made them look pretty bad out there.
They adjusted well for about, what, two quarters, middle of that game, and then late to just, you know.
Tell you what, that Chris Jones was a wrecking crew.
That last sack was.
Oh.
I don't understand. There are times, and there are some matchups, and you go with the play. But anytime you have, and it happened in the San Francisco-Philly game also, you have second-string tight ends trying to block the best pass rusher on the field. Like, well, we need to come up with a new concept. That's not going to work. And it didn't work. It got Purdy hurt, and then it got Burrow sacked at the very end of the game. It's a fine time to come and try to pull out that play on you, man.
Tell you what. Pass rushers have moves. They get all sorts of – Parsons has loads of moves, okay? Chris Jones has one move.
Power.
I'm shoving you back into your quarterback's lap. How do you like that, pal?
Can I give you a little Romo fun from yesterday?
Uh-oh. Sure.
This was this might be an all-time Romo quote.
Just fling it. A little risky. The wizard is still wizardry, but right here – he might have been down.
By the left shin might have been down.
The wizard is still wizardry.
It kind of sounded like me on the broadcast trying to come up with a word.
$17 million a year, buddy.
The wizard is still. He wanted to say wizarding,
yeah.
I think, but he got mad.
Or wizardly.
Play it again.
The wizard is still. Wizardry.
He had the pause too. He knew. He knew the next word coming out of his mouth wasn't going to make sense.
That's so great.
But he ran right through the stop sign. God, that's so great. I hated that the Philadelphia-San Francisco game wasn't that competitive because of the injuries and all that. That just kind of put a downer on that game that I think a lot of people anticipated was going to be the best one. But Kansas City and Cincinnati did not disappoint.
Thank God that was the night game.
What a fantastic game that was last night.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you were only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though, so. That's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.